So welcome to the 45th. This is 45 years to the day that this church started. And that's part of the reason why we decided to do it on the 7th of July, even though it's kind of a not good weekend for it, because some people are out and about traveling and doing things. But we're glad for those of you who could be here, and we're recording it for those who couldn't. So let me just start at the beginning. 45 years ago, it is my understanding, we had a book that had some details in it, and we can't find it. And, you know, pray that we find that. But in the beginning, the first meeting of the church was today, July 7th, 1979, and Bob and Debbie Sims started what was called Calvary Chapel. Now, I just want to make sure, is there anybody in the room who was at that first meeting? I was pretty sure nobody was. But, you know, I sometimes calculate things not quite right. And it started in their living room, is the best I understand it. And then not long after that, they moved to Division Street. So really, you could say it kind of really started on Division Street. And I tell people that I've met, you know, they're like, I'll say Bethel Defiance, and they'll go, Defiance? I said, oh yeah, I pastor a church that started on a street called Division in a town called Defiance. Yeah. And they laugh. But it's true. And that church, by the way, that building is being used by New Jerusalem Church right now. I don't know whether you know this, by the way. They're praying about a merger. Has anybody heard that? Yeah, they might merge with Pastor Michael Smith's church. The name slips my mind. Who knows? What's it called? Oh, Michael Smith's church. Anybody know what it's called? There we go. Thank you. Ding, 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 ding. Give that man a prize. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. He's been around longer than we have. But anyway, what I want to do is I want to start hearing from some different people who have memories from different periods of time. And we're going to start with a video. And the video is actually someone that some of you will know and some of you won't. But I'll just play the video first, and then I'll ask how many actually know this guy.
Well, Bethel, I'm happy to congratulate you on your 45th anniversary as a church. And I'm happy to admit I was there in the very beginning. I remember a Sunday that I preached when I was still pastoring the church in Butler on a Sunday, and was there when the church was on Division Street in Defiance, Ohio. And of course, Bob and Debbie Sims, as God used them and many of you to initiate the church those many years ago. It's been also my privilege to stand with you for various events, activities, and situations where you needed some assistance. And CMI was present to help and to come alongside and to be a strength. And certainly the years that Pastor Larry Goodwin was there, and now Pastor Tim, as we have a great relationship with he and Lisa, even further back with Lisa to when she was in high school camp at Camp McPherson in Ohio years ago when I was a youth pastor. Wow, where'd the years go? Nevertheless, we are excited for your experience, what God has done with you these many years. And our prayer is for God's sustenance to maintain you and to push you forward, particularly with the gospel and reaching those that are lost for the kingdom. We're here, we love you, and we extend our appreciation to your pastors and to the leaders of the church. If we can ever be of assistance and help, we're just a call away. God bless.
It's his fault. He was the one that was standing behind me at camp and said, Tim, would you consider taking the church in Defiance? And I said, no. God didn't care. God didn't care. He had better plans. And I'm glad God didn't care. I found that God's smarter than me. How many of you have noticed that? You haven't noticed? You should all be going, oh yeah, woo! God can't think of something stupid for me to do, and he wanted me to be here. So I'm thankful for that. We'll revisit that maybe in a minute here. But so when I was doing this, I wanted to make sure that at least one person maybe from the very beginning would share something. And I'll give you a chance here in a second. But Beth, can you come up here and just share what God's put on your heart as a memory and a reminiscence of what God has done over the years? Because Beth was here when the church was on Division Street, before she was married, before her parents even came.
Actually, the first time that I met the Simpsons was in the early 70s, and they had a daughter that's my age that we were friends. But I had graduated high school, and I really had no plans. You know, I was raised in church. Well, I kind of dabbled in a few things that I knew better, and I was like, you know, I got to get back in church. And so I tried to go back, and I just didn't feel, I couldn't find my niche, because I was now, wasn't in high school. I was working, but I just couldn't figure out what to do. And I don't remember who said anything to me, but I remembered, you know, the Simpsons and being Julie's friend. And so I thought, well, I'll go over there. I was 19, and it's just been amazing. I was, then when we came over here, when I got married, now I know Bob had married other couples before us, but what is now the Fellowship Hall, we were the first wedding in that, because that was the sanctuary. And then when Pastor Goodwin came, my daughter was the first baby that he dedicated. And it's just been kind of amazing to look back now and how God has taken my life and the people that he has sent to the church that not only blessed me, but hopefully I could be a blessing to somebody else and to see people. Some people stayed for a while. Some people were here a short time and we sent them out, you know, missionaries doing, you know, things like that. And it's just been a real steadfastness in my life. And, you know, in life as you go through things, I knew without a doubt that I could come to the pastors that have led this church. And it's just been a really blessing in my life and in raising my kids. And just it's just been wonderful. And you know where you're supposed to be. You know, I've gone to visit with friends to other churches and stuff, and it's been good. But I just know this is where I'm supposed to be. And it's just been wonderful.
Amen. And now, Beth has wonderfully set the precedent. No longer than her. If you come up here and say something and you speak longer than her, you don't know it, but there's a sharpshooter sitting in the corner. No, just kidding. It's a tranquilizer gun. They'll just think you were slain in the spirit. Anyway... Anybody else want to say anything from the era of Bob and Debbie Sims? I was glad that I got to know them. Yeah, no one has to speak, by the way. This is not an obligation. It's an opportunity. So you know, but I'm glad that I knew them a little bit. I didn't know them super well, but I knew them through the fellowship that we were part of. And there were one funny story that I still remember Bob telling me was, you know, that building was the Kawasaki dealership. And when I came to town, I was told, oh, you're the pastor of the Kawasaki church. And it took me a while to find out it was a dealership. And I thought, hiya! You know, I didn't know what the deal was. And I was talking to Bob about it one day, and he said, yeah, he says, I was in there one day. He said, a lot of people don't know this, but it wasn't just the Kawasaki dealership. Because I was in there one day, and I was praying. And he was up front, and the pews were all in. They were orange. Some of you remember the orange pews. And he heard the door. And so he turned from kneeling at the platform, and he looked back, and there was this couple, and they're looking with a bewildered look on their face. And he goes, can I help you? And they said, we're here to get a license? And he's like, marriage? And they go, no, for the car. The place had also been the DMV at one point. And, you know, so that building's been through a lot, built someplace, I think in the late 60s, early 70s is how old that part of the building is. And that was the second place that Calvary Chapel, as it was called then, was located at. And we've been here pretty much ever since, added on, but that kind of thing. The church had, you know, some good numeric growth, and it jumped up in size. That was partly due to some things that happened at some other churches. How many of you know that kind of stuff happens too? And there's transfer growth and that kind of thing. And sometimes churches go through stuff. We did. We'll maybe even mention that briefly. But when we were in that season where we were just first in this church, one of the people who came here early on was Kathy March. And so I asked Kathy if she'd share a little something from, you know, her beginning. And a lot of what's going to be said today is probably, yeah, I came here in such and such a year or whatever. But come on up, Kathy, and just share what God's put on your heart. And yeah. Kathy's our yard sale queen.
I wrote this out because I'm terrible. I forget things and get out of order, so I'm just going to read it. It all started for me in 1983. I had graduated from Defiance College and was working as a house parent at the children's home. I was on duty 6 days out of three. My parents were looking for a church, and my father met Pastor Larry Goodwin when he did some upholstery work for him. Pastor invited them to church. And when I had a Sunday off, I went with them to church. As soon as I walked in the door, I felt something. Didn't know what it was at the time. However, I learned that later, that it was the Holy Spirit drawing me in. The sermon that day was about what I was dealing with, and it seemed every service that I attended was meant for me. I was so mad at my parents, I thought they had talked to the pastor about me. And the next day, Pastor Goodwin called me at my job and talked to me for over an hour, and it was like talking to someone I had known all my life. I then started going every chance I got. I started working with Roxy Morton in Children's Church and Sharon Jewell with youth. I was a camp counselor at Camp Calvary. I got more growth and knowledge out of camp just as much as the fifth and sixth graders I was working with. Being a new Christian, I got involved as a singles group we started here, did a lot of outreach. Singles group did Chicago outreach, which was a street ministry in inner city Chicago. Singles group did a musical, The Race Is On, and toured different churches within it. That was all God and the Holy Spirit, because everybody that knows me knows I really don't have any musical ability. But I was in dramas and musicals. I met pastors Tim and Lisa Hacker around the time my mother passed away. They were so easy to talk to and very helpful and also fun to hang out with. Again, it was like talking to people I've known all my life. Over the years, we have had many opportunities for fellowship, service, building a family-like atmosphere through pig-outs, potlucks, picnics, musicals, dramas, special musical guests, mission outreaches, camps, small groups, vacation Bible schools, and many other relationship-building activities. We are a family here. There are so many more things I could say and testimonies to give. We would be here all day. I will end with this. I was set up on a blind date by a member of the church, Brenda Wilhelm. My husband, Bob, and I have been married 33 years in August. We got married here, have raised two kids, Caitlin and Andrew, in the church. God is so good. He meets you where you are. He brings special people into your life and to help you grow, instruct, learn from. And I have a relationship with God and continue to grow in the Lord because of the ministry here.
Amen. And she's just a little choked. Now I'm going to have to figure this out at some point here, because we're about to see a little video. It'll be video number 2, and it's the good ones. And they couldn't be here this morning. There is an outside chance that they may be here at lunch. But he's still a pastor, and he's now at Grace Summit, I think is the name of it, in Fort Wayne. And so got some duties on a Sunday morning. But nevertheless, maybe they'll make it. Anyway, according to my numbers, you said 1983. According to my numbers, it's 84, and Larry says they came here in 84. But Larry, I don't know. I've always wondered if his elevator really went all the way to the top. So I just, he's not here to defend himself, but if he were here, he'd shoot right back, I'm promising you. He's good at that. But he said 84 to 94. I'm sorry, yes, I meant to say 80. Let's show this little video.
Congratulations for 45 years of ministry. I'm Larry. This is Sherry Goodwin. We had the privilege of pastoring the church for 10 years, from 1984 to 1994. And we're excited that you are sharing this special event with us. Thank you for that. So many memories. So much maturity was gained in our lives as a result of sharing with you ministry. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we raised 3 daughters there with your love and your support that you gave to them. They're all 3 of them have beautiful families serving the Lord in their individual churches. And we're thankful for the upbringing that you helped us give our 3 girls. One of the other things that we remember so well, and that is going out after the Sunday night services and having our licky dabs. Our girls still talk about the licky dabs, so I don't know if you all are still doing that, but it was a great time for us. And again, I want to thank the Hackers for keeping the light shining there in Defiance, and we're just happy to be a part of this. Thank you.
Yes, especially the Hackers. Yeah. For so many years of faithful ministry there in Defiance, Ohio. What a legacy they have brought to the church and the community. And I want to close by just simply pronouncing a blessing upon you. May the Lord continue to prosper, to bless, inspire. May the gospel of Jesus Christ continue to shine forth through the ministry there in Defiance, Ohio. Again, in Jesus' name. God bless.
Bye.
One of the things that stood out to me that they shared and that you shared was raising family here and having your family as part of this. And I know not all the kids are here. I mean, you know, one of my kids is here now. She wasn't always. Now my other kid he's been everywhere since he graduated. But, you know, they're in Auburn, Indiana. They're almost close enough, but not quite. And, you know, it's good to have a place that you can say you raised your kids and that you were a part of that. And so when you're this old, you can actually do that, and it can become a wonderful thing. And hopefully we'll have more and more of young families again come in, and their kids will grow up in this place. And that's a wonderful thing to have the experience and be a part of. Is anyone here that remembers the building program? A few of you? Yeah. Yeah, that was quite an undertaking, because we were in that nice facility over there, and then we decided to build this one. And that was around 1990, 91. I think we occupied it in 91, if I have my information right. And, you know, what an excellent facility that we've been able to have. A lot of people don't know. They drive by this building, it doesn't look like. There's 17,000 square feet of building here. And that's our responsibility, those of you who are part of this church now. We want to keep it going, but we also need to be thankful. A whole lot of people gave a whole lot of money and did a whole lot of work, physical work on this building. Is anybody in here who was actually here and did any physical work while this building was being built? Yeah? Yeah? A couple of you? What do you remember doing?
Poured the
floor?
Yeah, the
Yeah.
I don't know much about cement, but all I know is that we got a phone call like about midnight or so, and it was raining.
Oh, no.
And I know they had dug, and they called, I don't know how many men were out here.
Trying to cover it.
And stuff in the rain.
In the rain, trying to cover the cement. Brother Leakey, were you one of those guys they called?
Worked on some drywall, things like that.
Drywall. Okay. I'm a drywall guy. I got no experience in cement either. Or not much. Maybe a little bit. Yeah, so, yeah. That was an undertaking for a church that wasn't huge. To build this big a facility was really quite an undertaking, and Pastor Goodwin and his wife led that and made all that happen over here. And there are so many things that they did at that time. I'm going to let Marlene come up. Marlene Sutton has been part of this church twice. She moved away, and then she just moved back just because she had to be here. Well, maybe not. But she did move back, and then this is where she came back to. So I'm really glad that Marlene, who is now the church secretary, can just share a little bit of her memories with you.
Well, I needed a list too, Kathy, because there's no way. But any of you remember Kate and Toad Adams? Yeah. I got saved at their house, and it's an awesome experience. That's how I started in 1980. I'd gotten married in between and eventually brought my kids here when they were like 2 and 4 years old. And they were in the nursery that was across the hall. It has the glass in the window. Anyway, they really loved it. My older one got to be in one of the programs with the little kids. That's so cute. I ended up moving to Waterloo and went to the Calvary Chapel there. I was there for a long time. But I remember having the singles group here. Singles group people, Kathy, Mike, yeah. And I had little kids, but I was still a single person at that time. So that was a pretty cool experience. Mark Piles and Stephanie were part of that. And then they went off doing mission work. And it was a very cool thing here. We had a lot of missions going on. It was a good time. But as it turns out, I had to come back here to be with my mom. That was 2009. So I got to walk in here and see who was here, and I got greeted by Beth and by Kathy and Joan. That's just the greatest thing. Such a lot of good fellowship here. Amy was here. But it was really great to see. I was so surprised to see this whole big addition. That was crazy. But love it here. Love all you guys.
Thank you, Marlene. Now, in 1994, as Larry mentioned, they left and went, I forget what, they missions first, and then they ended up being back in pastoring. But we had another man and his wife come, and Jim and Tammy Schock were here for a very short time. And I'm going to give you my just take on it. I'm a pastor who's never started a church. And a lot of my pastor friends were church starters. And when you start a church, the wonderful thing about starting a church is you get to do it any way you want, and the people who come in either like it or they just don't stick around. But when you take over an existing church, you have to be careful. And I've told the story, I think. Guy took over a church. He was there about 6 months. He wanted to rearrange the platform. There was a piano on the platform. He moved it to the other side. 2 weeks later, they fired him. Now, I know that would never have been this church. Maybe a couple of people you remember from the past might have been that. But they didn't like it. He changed too much too quick. That was their problem. And he found that out because he came back 5 years later. And the guy who succeeded him was there. And the piano was where he wanted it. And he was like, he asked the pastor, they came back for a celebration kind of like this, one of those anniversary celebration things. So he asked the pastor, he said, how did you get them to let you move the piano from there to there? He says, What do you mean get them? He said, well, did they give you permission? He said, no. You moved it without asking? He said, yes. He said, how did you do it? 1 inch at a time. When you take over a church, people think you're going to be the last guy. And if you're too radical or too different, even if what you're doing is good or bad, doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing, if you're too radical, that's a problem. When I came to this church, I knew Larry. And I didn't shave my head to look like Larry, but I almost did because I knew what Larry would look like and how he would behave. And I tried to take this church patiently through a transition because getting a new pastor is weird. And I'm weird. So, I mean, you know, they needed time. And so I tried to be aware of that. And unfortunately, I think that's what happened with Jim and Tammy. I think that there was just, on top of maybe some other things that were genuinely there, some of you were there and you know about it. I don't really know. So I can't speak to all that. But what I can speak to is you gotta consider the congregation that you've got. And when I came, I also knew that some people probably would not like me. They might not stay. I might not be their cup of tea. I still remember one guy who he and his wife started coming after I was here already, and they didn't know the previous pastor. And one day she was in the nursery, and he headed out the door and went down to the hall, and he said to her, "That clown's at it again." Apparently, pastors aren't supposed to tell jokes where he came from. And that's okay. That's his style. I can tell you a couple of nationwide ministries that I'm like, I enjoy their books better than I enjoy their preaching. Because they say good things, it's just the way they say it. It just doesn't connect with me. And, you know, we all have our own tastes. So we made those transitions, and then on Wednesday, July 16th, I mentioned a little bit ago, that first guy in the first video asked me whether I wanted to come here. And I told him no, and God didn't care. Because God knew better than me. And I'm thankful for that. In fact, did you just say the Adamses? What were their first names? Toad. Yeah. That's what I like about Defiance. It's flat, but it's full of hillbillies. That's exactly the kind of name that we would have had where I grew up. Kate and Toad. That's what it would have been. Yeah, it makes total sense to me. I got to town, and yes, I can still see a dog's tail wagging 3 days after he runs away from me. But everybody's a hillbilly here. Just seems like it. So that made me happy. And it was on July 16th, I said no. And on August 17th, I was the new pastor, voted in. And here by September 2nd, because when God's up to something, sometimes he just does not mess around at all. He just makes it happen. And it's been wonderful for us. It's the best decision I never made. It's made for me. Of all those who stayed, by the way, of all of you who were here before me and you're here today, I want to express a extra thank you. I really do. I feel very honored that you were able to figure out how to adjust from what you were used to something that ended up being different. And I'm honored by that. That doesn't happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen for a lot of people. And again, I'm not judging other people. I'm just saying I'm honored that you're still here. And so thank you. I feel very blessed to have those of you who have been here for all this time. And I also feel very blessed for everybody who's ever come into the church, and no matter how long they've stayed and for whatever part they played. And I may repeat this later, but it's important to me that we understand everybody who walked through the door, whether they wanted to or not, played a part. Even the ones who maybe don't like us anymore, they played a part. And God uses all that. All things work to the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Anyway, I got here. The church had shifted a little bit from Calvary Chapel to Calvary Worship Center. So you remember those days? Is there anybody else who remembers when I got here? You got here pretty quickly, like right after that. A few. And as the year 2000 approached, there was a momentum across the country, and churches were rebranding themselves for the new millennium, is what they would say in some of these conferences that people were going to. And suddenly, sign companies were doing very well because everybody was rebranding themselves, and so we became Harvest Life. And we did that because all the other churches in CMI were rebranding and putting new names out too. So we thought, we'll do it too. You know, it seemed wise, and I don't know that it was a bad thing. In fact, to this day, you may not know this, but we are still Harvest Life, Inc. DBA, doing business as Bethel Defiance. So for purposes of ownership of the property, insurance, and other things, we still are the incorporation that we created in the year 1999 as we were going into 2000. And that's a good thing. I can't remember exact years for any of the rest of you. And there may be, there's supposed to be maybe a couple other people speaking. We'll see if everybody's ready. But I do have another video. So video number 3, can you go ahead and put that one up?
Hi, folks. We're the Earharts. We would love to be there on this momentous occasion, but we are unable to be. So we're doing the next best thing, or at least that's what Tim said. So we want to take this opportunity to thank the church, to thank Tim and Lisa. Whether you attended when it was Calvary or Harvest Life or Bethel, the heart of the church has remained unchanged in our opinion. We've been there since 2000, fall 2000, we started to attend. We were a little bit younger then, but we were grateful for the leadership opportunities that we were given, thankful for the individuals that we were able to rub elbows with and be mentored by, Nels and Nancy Greek, Paula Rita Carnes, Ken and Bernie Florence, Doug and Beth Bachman, many more. And some of those, as we know, they have gone on before us, but they truly, in our eyes, were some serious saints, and they were very thankful that they were part of our lives from the time we started attending the church.
And I just am so grateful and thankful that I've had the opportunity to lead worship with some pretty amazing people over the past 20 plus years. It's blessed me tremendously. And I want to say a special thank you to Tim and Lisa for just always being present in some really hard times for us. So just thank you from the bottom of my heart.
And that goes for me too. And the last thing we want to say is, maybe most importantly, the thing that we are really, really thankful for, possibly the most, is the sense of family that has always been at our church is unmistakable, in our opinion. For us, and that's a big deal, maybe the biggest of all. So
happy anniversary
and congratulations.
Relationship. I've been talking about it the whole time we've been here, and I think that it's something that oftentimes we miss, especially in our modern era in some of the churches. It's, you know, come do your fulfill your obligation in some churches, or it's come and have a great thing and have a good time but not know anybody in other churches. And I feel like, as messy as it is sometimes, and sometimes it's even hard being in relationship with people, it's really good for us. So I have a question. I asked a few of you ahead of time. Maybe you didn't get asked, but you want to. So let's just have a little parade of people. Who wants to be next? Here comes Joyce, one of the ones that we did talk about it ahead of time.
I think it's good to follow them.
You think it's good to follow them? All right.
Yeah, I had lived in Ohio all my life, and I moved to Oklahoma for a while. When I came back, I just went to a bunch of different churches, and some of them you would walk in and just sit at the back pew and walk out, and nobody even said hello. And that really wasn't what I was looking for. So when I came to Defiance, you know, to look for a church, I had pulled into another church, and I just kind of sat there, and I'm like, I don't know, this doesn't feel right. I had two churches on my mind, and that one just didn't seem like the one I wanted to be at. So I came onto this one, and I came in, and this lady walks up to me and says, "Oh, hey, how you new?" And, you know, asked me, you know, who I am and all, you know, about me. And she says, "Well, come sit with us." And I turned and found out later it was the pastor's wife. And I'm like, that's amazing. I mean, you know, because like nobody, some of these other churches, I just walked in and nobody. And so anyway, when I moved to Van Wert here, 17 years ago, one of the ladies, Bernie, actually, she says, "You're not going to leave us, are you?" You know, and I said, "Oh, no, I got you people broke in, so I'm still here."
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And it wasn't the two different color shoes that made people afraid of her back then. This is something she developed over the years. But Matt's coming. Come on, Matt.
So believe it or not, I just calculated how long I would be here as of September. September seems to be the biggest thing for this church.
Yeah?
In September this year, I'll be here 16 years.
Cool.
So, in saying that, in 2008, I met Dave Boggs, who was praise and worship leader here at one point, and he needed a bass player. Well, as you've seen today, I play bass. So I come up here a couple Sunday evenings to help out, and my wife and I got into some stuff over in Van Wert and started looking for another church. So I came up here. My wife was working at a hotel at the time, and came up here on a Sunday. We sat basically where Tyler and his wife sitting at right now, me and my three kids that have, of the five, and my youngest one at that time was six, who is now 21. they didn't want to go back into the back or anything, so we sit here and listen to Tim preach. And on our way back to Lima, where we lived, I asked the kids, "So what did Tim preach on?" And they told me flat straight out everything. And I'm like, "Whoa, okay, wait a minute here. These kids don't listen to no one."
Signs and wonders.
So we go back, pick up my wife from work, because she was the night auditor there, so she was still working. And my wife asked him, "What did Tim preach about?" And they told her everything. She goes, "Okay, we got to figure this out. I'm going to come up here, and we're going to figure out if we're going to be here or not." So as of September, it'll be 16 years. Now, my wife is not coming right now, but that's not it's a here and there.
Purse.
So,
purse.
Yeah, but I'm staying for as long as I can, and a lot of God wants me here, so.
Amen.
Amen.
Who else?
I was kidnapped and brought here the first time.
He was. It's a true story.
Wendy Sebastian used to come here, and her son Brandon and I were thick as thieves, and we were neighbors, and I wanted to crash at his place for the night on a Saturday night, and he was like, "Let me go ask my mom." So he leaves the room, and he comes back, and he was like, "Yeah, Mom said you could stay." So we play video games all night, and then he wakes me up really early in the morning. He was like, "You ready for church?" And I was like, "I'm not going to church." And he was like, "Oh, Mom said the only reason you could stay is if you went to church with us the next morning." So I came to church wearing the holiest jeans I had and a LeBron James basketball jersey. And I remember feeling like I wasn't judged at all, even though I looked really shabby. And Tim prayed for me, and it was the first time I'd ever felt the Holy Spirit before. And I remember closing my eyes while he was praying for me, and he stops mid-prayer, and he's like, "What's wrong with your hand?" And I was just, like, shaking. And first person I heard speak in tongues was...
Morona?
No. Paul Carnes.
Paul Carnes, yeah.
Yeah, and I leaned over to Brandon, and I was like, "Is he speaking Arabic?" But this I'm a son of this house. I have grown up here since 04, 05, roughly. So thank you, everybody who's poured into my life and had patience with me when I was a dumb teenager and helped me be the man I am.
Amen. I wish I could have found it. I would have loved to have surprised him with the video that he and Brandon made where we did this thing where we were saying snap out of it, and we had, you know, negativity fast thing that we did, and we had little rubber bands that people put around their arm, and every time you got negative, you were supposed to snap yourself and say snap out of it. But they did one with a dog collar, one of those electric dog collars.
It was research and development.
Research and development, yeah. They were doing R&D over here in the offices, and there was literally a real shock in the thing, wasn't there? It looked real.
Brandon put a collar on.
He put the collar on. Yeah, you pretend. That's right. That's what the video. I wish I could have found that video for you, though, because we showed it to everybody.
I had a big rubber band around my forehead.
Oh. Yeah. He had a rubber band around his forehead, and Brandon snapped it if you couldn't hear what he said. That was a fun, fun thing. Anybody else want to jump in and share something? You know, this is open up to anybody I didn't even get to talk to if you desire to say something.
So, a little backstory for me, I actually did grow up in a different church for a while that my mom and my former stepdad took me to. First Church of God on Carter Road is where I grew up at with Pastor Larry and Rick. There were some things that my mom and my stepdad were going through, and then we moved to Texas when I was in like fourth grade, and then we came back and he went to China for a job, and my mom was kind of lost and had went through a lot of things. And so we kind of stopped going to church for a while. And then sixth grade, after I ended the sixth grade school year, my mom moved to Missouri, and I moved in with my dad. And I went to Tenora, and it was in seventh grade when I met Andrew and Katie and Kathy. And I was just lost. I didn't know God anymore, and a lot of things. And I started hanging out with Andrew and Katie a lot. And sorry, but Kathy took me in as a son. I was hanging out with Andrew and Katie so much, and all the time spending there, and then I ended up going to church with them here after a while, and Andrew was so excited to bring me here, and I was like, well, it's just church. I mean, what is it like? Like, I don't understand why you would be so excited to go to church. And then I came here the first time, and Tim and Lisa and John and just everybody just welcomed me like I had already been there for years. And I just remember immediately feeling welcome, like I had always been here. So I just thank everyone for welcoming me like that.
Amen. That's good. Okay, come on. Always. She said, are you afraid of what I'm going to say? I said, always. No, I'm not. Go for it. You're fine.
He never knows what I'm going to say.
This is true.
I was trying to think where to start and interject here. But I read a long time ago, I don't want to say this, I've gone to church all my life. And after my divorce, my son and I went into First Baptist Church, which he's still there after all these years, he and his wife. And then I retired from Mercy Defiance Clinic after 31 years, and I went to Greed at Myers. And I had left. I used to go to a Bible study that was full of the Spirit. I remember the wife of the superintendent schools. She sat next to me, and they were talking about the Holy Spirit, and it was Greek to me, and she'd explain it all to me. And I found out there was more. And people look at me like, what are you talking about? Yes, there is more. Ooh, shut up, Akai. anyway, then when I was at the Myers one day, I was talking to somebody that was in there, and I said, "Well, I'm in transition. I don't even know where I got the word. It just came out." So then I was at another pastor's church, and the pastor's wife gave me a word. She said, "You're in transition." Well, at the time, I was going to two churches. So then I decided to come here. I'd been in six at one church and 6 years at another church. And pastor said, "You're not a church hopper, or you wouldn't have stayed that long." I'll tell you what I've learned. I learned a lot. And when I came in here, it would get just about 6 years, I'd tell pastor. "Well, pastor, it's going to be 6 years." He'd just shake his head. "Coming October, I'll be here 18 years.
Hallelujah.
I don't know where it went. Lord. God. And when I give a word, he's never said one word to me that my words are off when I prophesy. And I said, "I'm not perfect." I keep telling him, "I'm not perfect," but he doesn't say anything. So he's really been good to me, and I appreciate it. And I love him dearly.
And again, that's one of those things where you feel very honored that somebody goes beyond their six-year habit and then stays with you three times as long now. Yeah, come on, Ev. By the way, if there are people who need to be grilling, get to doing that. And if there are people who need to start moving some stuff, do that. And that way, as soon as we're done here, we can probably transition real quickly. So, yeah.
Okay, so I started going here, my family did, in 2001, and I was 3 years old. I'm 26 now, so it's been a long time that I've been here. And I feel like I've kind of seen the church through like every transition and every aspect of the church, and people coming and going. And I watched all of my childhood friends kind of come and go, and that was always really hard, and seeing the people you love so much go. But I've been at the church through like every single stage of my life, like the really, really bad and the really, really good, and a lot of like phases of my life where I kind of just wanted to like drift away from my faith and leave God. And every time I did and I'd come back to church, everybody kind of pulled me back in and didn't really allow me the opportunity to leave God. So I'm very grateful to all of you for that. And also, all of you aren't just like church members to me, like you're my second parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and you've all been family to me more than my actual like family. So, I mean, not my immediate family. I love my immediate family. Sorry, Mom. But I mean, like any extended family, we were never, as a family, like never close. But like to me, you were all my family. So I'm very grateful for all of you and being by my side. And so thank you guys.
Amen.
Well, we were going to a church that had a total split, and we weren't ready to join any, so we just kept visiting churches, and it was almost 3.5 years, and we came and visit here, and the pastor was in a suit, very reserved, and we came maybe 3 times, but not consecutively. And then we left, and we were praying, me and my husband were praying, "Lord, why can't we find a church that's moving in the spirit?" There were always, some of them were for it and some were against it. So we would pray and stuff, and help us find a church that we can be going and get involved in. So I guess it was like almost 3.5, not quite 4 years. And we enjoyed visiting other churches. There was a lot of people we knew, different ones and stuff. So about 2 weeks later, my son Craig calls. "Ma, I got to come back to Harvest High for Craig. Pastor's moving in the things of the Spirit and stuff." So we were praying about it. And I said to Craig, "Okay, we'll come next week." So we were coming here, and we were going through the hallway, and the doors weren't up yet by the Gravy Boys. And the Spirit came over me, and my husband got revelation goosebumps. And the Lord spoke to both of us, this is where I want you. So we come in, and I couldn't get over how many people I knew. And the Lord, they mentioned some of that. The next Sunday was membership Sunday, so I said to my husband, well, we'll go next Sunday and find out what it's all about, and which we did. And we had, it was so grateful that he answered prayer for us.
Amen. Amen. So, Wanda's coming. Wanda, oh, okay. Hi, Wanda.
Well, I started when Pastor Goodwin was here. And my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law, I wasn't able to come to church for quite a while. And they invited me to church. And I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, if you want me there or to go, you make a way. Otherwise, if I'm not, that's okay. Well, anyway, I ended up coming. And I know I had gone away from the Lord and got into stuff. And anyway, when I came one night or one day, I said, the pastor said, stand up if you need to sacrifice praise. So I said, here goes. So I stood up and started praising the Lord. And deep down, I said, send someone to me to pray with me. And a gentleman back here, Kevin Keller, was one of those gentlemen that came to pray with me. So he's been a major part of me coming. And it wasn't too long after that that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then one day I was in the back doing flannel graph. I think it was during the week. I'm not sure. But you had come to take a tour of the church. And I was back there when you came. And I'm just thankful for this family. I'm thankful that we are pretty close. And it's just been a blessing over and over again.
Amen. Okay, come on.
So I started going here around 2021. Obviously, you guys know how I got introduced to this church. But I had talked to him about how I just feel like I can't find a church home. I feel like I haven't found the place where I found my family yet. And he said, well, I go to Bethel, or I had been going to Bethel for a while, and you should try going to that church. So I did one day. I came in here, and I told everybody. They had all come up to me and said, hi, how are you? How are you? At the end of church. And like, where do we know you from? I said, well, you know me from Tyler. And that day, after I had gone to talk to him about how it went, I said, Tyler, you got to come back here. Everybody's asking about you. And I absolutely love it here now. This is my church home, and this is my church family. I've learned so much in growing as a Christian, and so much in growing as a Christian family. And you guys have been here through, obviously, some of our hardest moments and through some of our best moments. And I praise God for all of you guys.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to make Jeanette the last one.
Well, big, huge of my life has been here. When I came, it was 2009, 2008, around there, I was coming through different churches. We were following that. They were a group of with, I can't think of their names, but they were going to different churches to teach us how to go out and preach to the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And my foot stepped on that ground out there. The Holy Spirit said, you're home. And I've been praying way before this, Lord. I like where I'm at, but I really, really want the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the closeness. And I have found that the Holy Spirit had allowed me to come here and feel family, the home, and Him.
Amen. Good, good, good. So I want to wrap this up. And we'll make it a legal meeting by reading some scripture. If we don't read scripture, it's not a legal meeting, is it? So I want to read you just two short passages, one from Ezra chapter 3 and one from Haggai chapter 2. And they actually are the same story, just written from different perspectives, but and containing a little bit of information that one had that the other one didn't have. Ezra chapter 3, verses 11 through 13 says, "And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. And no one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away." They had just gotten back from 70 years of exile, and they're laying the foundation of the temple because the former temple had been torn down. So they were relaying a new foundation, and they were getting ready to do something. And some of the people could remember the old one. And while memories are great, sometimes we can get stuck in our memories too. But the new people who were coming in were excited because they could see something new. Something amazing was happening that they had never had a chance to even be a part of because they were in Babylon for 70 years. That's where they had grown up. So think about this. All the young people were 70 and under. That should make a few of you feel better. 70 and under were the young people. Everybody above that was the old people who had seen the old. But an interesting thing happened in the middle of this. A prophet named Haggai said these words, "The glory of this present house will be, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." I am thankful for everything we've done up till now. I am thankful for 45 years. If we had this service, closed the door and handed the keys to somebody else, what has been done through the ministry that God set in this place has been worth it all. Been worth it all. And yes, we've had our ups and our downs, and not everything's worked out exactly the way we thought it would, but it's been worth it all, every bit of it. So we can look back on that. I'm not going to cry about what used to be, though. There have been times when this church was bigger. There has been times when this church was a little more exciting. The seats were a little fuller, the offerings were a little larger, blah, 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 blah. You can go on and on and on and on with that stuff. And we can look back and say, oh, I remember when the church did this. They're not like that anymore. Maybe. Maybe we are. We just need to let it go. And maybe God has plans beyond what any of us can imagine for the future. And I think He does, not only for this house, but every house that really calls on His name. I think He has bigger plans and better plans. And I still expect revival of a level that we've never seen before. I still expect that. And I want to be part of it. I don't want to miss out on it. I've told it many times, you know, if you're going to catch a wave, when the wave's coming at you, you got to be paddling before the wave gets to you, because otherwise it'll just raise you up and let you back down and you won't get much out of it. But if you paddle and work and do something as that wave's coming, and the wave and you are on the same momentum when the wave gets there, it'll take you all the way in. And I think God's getting ready to do something where we're going to get a really good long ride if we are willing to dig. Dig, 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 dig. It's time. It's time to catch the wave. I remember seeing so many wonderful things happening here. We've baptized a lot of people. We've had a lot of people get born again. We've had a lot of people touched by the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled again with the Holy Spirit. We've had people shake and bake. We've had people cry. We've had people laugh. We've had people do all those kind of things that people talk about, manifestations. Well, and those are good. By the way, though, you heard family over and over and over and over and over again. If your manifestations don't make you a better part of family, you're not getting it. Because all the stuff that God does is to bring us together as his family. He doesn't do that stuff just to show off. I don't think he's afraid to show off. But he doesn't do that stuff just to show off. He does that stuff because he wants to bring us into a relationship with each other, which is a qualifier for a relationship with him. Because if you don't love those you have seen, John said, you can't love him you have not seen. And so all this stuff is for that. But I still remember some amazing things. So one more video. Number four.
Hi, guys. I love my Bethel family. Wish I could be there with you today. But Tim asked me to say just a few words about how what being a part of Bethel has meant to me. I'll be as brief as I can and try to get as much information in as I can. When Melissa and I first started getting serious and realized that we were going to make it permanent, we knew that we had to go to church together. It was important for us to go together as a family. So I started coming to church with her on a regular basis 24 years ago now, I believe it was. And I remember sitting in the back, not having been to a church like that, having grown up Catholic, and with my hands firmly on the pew in front of me and not wanting to move or raise my hands or do anything of that nature. And I can remember at the end of a song, Paul Carnes speaking in the Spirit, and I'd never heard that before, and just freaking out. And I knew that was completely different and uncomfortable, but something inside of me said, get out of your comfort zone and push a little bit. And the reward will be great. And I can remember a team from Bethel came to talk one night, and afterwards I went up to Pastor Tim and I said, you know, ever since I was a teenager, I've had this calling in me to pray for people and for God to heal them. And he looked at me and said, so why don't you? And that changed my life. And so I began a 2-decade-long healing, prayer for healing crusade, if you will. And I was able to watch God heal stiff necks, deaf ears, bad knees, bad backs, bad shoulders. One young lady who couldn't talk, but she had to sing that night, prayed for her. That night she sang beautifully. She went on to entertain on cruise ships and became a crusader for Christ and brought like 2,000 people to the Lord. I saw lumps in people who were going to have surgery disappear by being touched by the Lord. I witnessed a man who had no pulse and no respiration rate and was turning gray come back to life at God's hands when Melissa and I prayed for him. So many things and that I could go on forever about, but all of that is just a part of what we do at Bethel. We step out in faith and we just wait for God to show up, and he will, and he does, and we've seen it. I love my church. I love the way we love each other. I love the way that we are family. I love the way that if you need help, we help you. If you need to move, we'll move you. The people moved us into this house. I love that if you're sick, we will literally get in cars and drive over to your house and pray for you. We have angels in our house, and we have royalty in our house, and some of them have gone to be with Jesus, and I only wish that we could see what they're seeing right now, but we will one day. I love the fact that we believe, and this has changed me completely, that our journey with Jesus is not about religion, it's about relationship. Relationship with our Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit that lives within us. It's all about, not just about getting you to heaven when you die, but it's about getting heaven into you while you're here on earth. And if we can do that the way that we want to do that, then it will be, as Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. I love the fact that we believe that professing your faith without living it is meaningless. and that we believe in being the one. Be the one to step out. Be the one to be bold. Be the one to step out of your comfort zone. Be the one to love each other. Be the one to pray for healing. Be the one to dare to ask Jesus into other people's lives. Be the one. That's Bethel.
And several of you have had those experiences too, that just went out and started praying for people. It was once upon a time, people thought only those who were called and had degrees and had certificates and everything got to pray for somebody. And we've seen a lot of miracles. I still remember a man named Vernick who was coughing up phlegm balls from working at GM, and he mixed chemicals there. And his boss and his coworker had started coughing up little ones, and he went in and they told him he had lung cancer, and they started treating him. In 6 months, he was gone. So when Vern started coughing him up, he was like, whatever. He went in and they said, yeah, we'll give you the treatment. He said, no, I saw what you did, my friend. I'm not going to do it. He was coughing up grapefruit, small grapefruit, large orange-sized phlegm balls. And I called him out one day, and he came up here, and we prayed, and nobody felt a thing, but he never coughed up another one. And he lived an additional 15 years. He was already retired. He lived an additional 15 years. God added to his life and healed him. And I can just tell you, we've seen just, I mean, I wrote down a bunch of them. A young man named Hannibal, who Paul and I prayed for during a yard sale. She's gone. She's making food. And he was limping and dragging his leg, and we prayed for him. And the next thing you know, he's running through the building. He had damaged his back in an accident at work between a forklift and a rack that he got pinned, and he got completely healed. I remember a young lady over here during communion. She just was receiving communion, and we've been talking about the meal that heals at that time. And she had horrible headache, and her ears were, she knew it was an infection. And she took the communion, and all of a sudden she said, by faith, Lord, I'm trusting you to heal this. And all of a sudden both ears popped, and water ran down the sides of her neck, and all the pain was gone. She was completely healed. And we could go on and on and on and on and on about different people like that. One of my favorites, two more. One of my favorites was during one of the special speakers that we had here. I think it was Chris Gore from California. And this lady couldn't smell. And he was praying for her, and all of a sudden she could smell. She was walking around sniffing people. I mean, it was hilarious, but it was cool because she had an instant, she could smell. She hadn't been able to smell for years, and instantly got healed. But maybe one of my favorites when we had a special speaker in was a young woman was over here. And I say a young woman, a woman in her late 30s, and she had her probably 16, 13-year-old daughter someplace in that age group. And they came, and they sat down, and she was kind of protective of her daughter. She wouldn't let anybody too close to her. And come to find out, her daughter had a condition in her body where everything hurt. And if you touched her, it sent pain through her body, some kind of a nerve condition or something. She got prayer that night and hugged her mom again for the first time in like 5 or 6 years. And was able to be hugged by other people. And she was hugging everybody. Wendy Sebastian was basically raised from the dead. She and some of you, you know, we could go on. There's stories. There's stories and stories and stories. We're going to keep going after healing. We're going to keep going after healing. And we believe God's going to do great things. So let's believe that the greater days are still ahead of us. And whether the testimonies happened during Calvary or whether they happened during Harvest Life or whether they happened during Bethel, none of them would be here if it wasn't for all the people over all the years who were faithful and came and were part, led here by God, perhaps led away, perhaps stolen from us, but whatever. I am thankful for every single person who was part of what we did. We are Bethel. And we decided that new name because we want all of you to be a house of God. But we also are Bethel because if you look at our logo, it says be the one. And we believe that each one of you can be the one that God uses. And you don't need any special education except for the education that comes from the Holy Spirit. And he can direct and guide you and show you things that you wouldn't otherwise know. So, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm going to let you sit. Just stay where you are. Put your hand on somebody next to you. Or hold somebody's hand. Or whatever you got to do. Whatever it looks like. Lord God, if you told me today you were done with this, I wouldn't fight you because your ideas are better than mine. But I got that feeling that you're not. I got the feeling it's just the opposite. I believe, Lord, that word that Haggai spoke is for this house, that the former days have been great, but the next days are going to be even greater. And so we ask you to do that, Lord, not for us, but for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. But we know we'll be blessed if we get to be part of that. So we thank you. We thank you for everyone who was able to visit here and reminisce with us, Lord. We are so blessed to have had anybody from any time throughout the history of our church. And all of them, Lord, would be wanted and welcomed in this place. And Lord, we just thank you that your healing power has not stopped. Even as I'm praying, Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for healing in the back where some people are already trying to prepare and get the food ready for us. I pray for healing, Lord, for everyone that's in this building anywhere. I pray for anyone who identifies with this church as their church, even if they couldn't be here today. And Lord, we just thank you that you are going to do great and marvelous things because, Lord, you are great and marvelous. So we thank you, Father, for your love that you've shown us over the many years, and we look forward to what you're going to do next. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen.